BlakeRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, Wrestle Talk Radio. Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the Rated R superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? Huh? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Do try the chips.
Omega.
It really is. It's a screwdriver and it's something.
Mace.
I'm not just a Time Lord. I'm the last of the Time Lords.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Excuse me, do you mind not farting while I'm saving the world?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is our opinions, reactions, and review of WWE TLC, Totally Lacking Creativity. We're going to have a lot to say about this one. I am the Omega, the BL, and all of our network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Just wait a second. Am I over now?
Not yet.
Okay, wait. Now.
Nope.
Ah, shit. Seamus, where are you? I need to beat the shit out of you.
And, well, we apparently don't have a Tim Stein right now, but we have our producer, Rock, here.
I'm here. We want Cena. Cena sucks? No?
I heard we want Cena, we want Brock.
I heard NXT.
I heard NXT. Daniel I heard Bryan.
Daniel Bryan.
Hurts Rollins.
Heard them all. Heard them all.
Yeah, I didn't hear Reigns.
Oh, no, there was thank you, Reigns, right at the end. I think that was just thank you, Reigns, now we can go home.
It had been 3 hours. So.
God, it felt like 18.
And for the formal introduction, welcome everybody to WTR Sunday Night Live here on Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by PWMania.com. You can catch us on TuneIn Radio, just search Wild Talk Radio Network. 3.5-4 hours of tables, ladders, and chairs fun. And some of it was good.
Some of it?
Some of it was everything we expected it would be.
That's not a good thing.
No. But hey, at least the network worked at the beginning of the show. Oh.
2 months in a fucking row. And the live stream, for those of us that pay our $9.99 a month, did not start until halfway through the pre-show. Yet YouTube worked perfectly straight from the get-go.
My gut tells me they upped the servers for the live pay-per-view. Called a hunch.
You figure they'd fix it up before the live show began.
And I have a feeling here in about 51 minutes, the stream is going to go down again when they switch the server back over like it did last time. It's called a hunch.
Yeah. I want to, switch over before you broadcast.
Might be a smart idea.
No expert on broadcast television. I kind of know something about internet streaming, and I know you get your shit together before you go live.
Yeah, as a person who does a lot of internet streaming, yes, you get your shit done and switch over and set up before you go live. Makes it so much easier. Just saying. But on the plus side, we were treated to Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks on the pre-show.
Best match of the night. I'm not kidding. That is my match of the night, and we got it for free.
Talk about the match. I was in and out during it. What'd you think?
Personally, I quite liked it. Basic psychology, trying, Becky Lynch working the arm for most of the match.
Mm-hmm.
including, like, even when she was going for a roll-up, she made sure to hook the arm in as well. Something that you don't see in Divas matches, you know, psychology, working a body part, actual wrestling. And, yeah, this was a lot of really good back and forth between the two. It was pretty much the same type of thing that you would have seen in NXT, except they're all over in England at the moment.
Where apparently there are 10-minute chants. No joke. There was a 10-minute chant for Jordan and Gable.
Nice.
There's a clip of it on the NXT Twitter for those when I hear it. Anyway, continue.
But yeah, like, very good, straightforward wrestling match. Sasha Banks went over for the win, and your God bless Team Bad basically being the female version of the New Day right now, because they are actually starting to become entertaining.
Yes, yes, they are. A couple things I did note from this match that I was able to see, mainly here at one point. Michael Cole, learn what the bank statement is and learn what the disarm her is. K. Learn the moves. Might be a smart idea.
Or girls go, have moves? Okay. What?
He couldn't call those two moves yet during the Team ECW Wyatt match. He was able to correctly call a Michinoku driver.
Yet on Raw, he called a DDT the Dreamer driver.
What? Do we get different Michael Coles depending on the situation? Like, is there, like, Michael Cole, the version that actually works, and it only works for, like, 5 minutes at a time?
Oh, there's clone vats of Michael Coles in Stanford, Connecticut, and every time one starts getting moves wrong, you know it's time to flush one and get the new one out.
This could be why they're looking at new announcers. For SmackDown especially.
Oh, the DNA is wearing thin.
They're thinking outside the box. Yeah, it's just, he should go back to the Vince McMahon approach of, what a maneuver! If you don't know what the name of a move is.
By God, King, did you see that?
But yeah, for what I saw, this was a good match. What did you think, Omega, if you caught it?
I caught some of it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was a good match. You know, and I would expect that because we have two NXT girls wrestling in the match who actually know how to... work body parts and sell said working of body parts and do things, you know, wrestlers do.
You mean they wrestled?
They wrestled. That's the word. That's the word.
That's the word. Gotcha. Gotcha. And they gave them a little bit of time too, which was nice.
It would have been nice without a commercial break, but yeah.
Well, you gotta pimp the shows on YouTube. Gotta buy the pay-per-view if you're watching on YouTube.
Yeah, gotta buy the pay-per-view if our servers are working.
If our servers are working. They got 11 and a half minutes, as May said. Sasha Banks with the win. Good stuff.
I couldn't complain. I was quite happy to see actual wrestling psychology done in a women's match for the first time in... I can't remember how long. So, yeah, it's a very good match. And basically, yeah, match of the night. And it was free.
Free. All I remember seeing is the League of Nations in a circle. What was going on?
They were in the Hall of Justice.
Oh, good lord.
Seriously, like, this thing gave off a old school 1950s, 60s Super Friends vibe to the whole thing. It's like the League of Nations in their secret... Nation Cave or some shit like that.
Nation Cave.
How many caves does the WWE arena have? The Wyatts have one, Stardust have one, now the League of Nations have one?
It's just an extra dimensional portal back there. There is no gorilla position. It's the Stargate.
Okay.
That's how WWE legends and like people who supposedly work for TNA just randomly show up one day.
Ah, so that explains how Tommy Dreamer got back. He just went through the wrong portal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those left-turn at Albuquerque things. It's how James Storm ended up here.
Yeah, he did.
No, that was one beer too many.
How many is too many for him?
27.
Somewhere in the realm of triple digits.
Triple digits. So, we then kick off with the main show, and it starts off with the ladder match. New Day, Usos, and the Lucha Dragons.
Yeah, you get it right. It started the way most... things should start, that's with the New Day. cutting promos and being entertaining.
Yeah, entertain me so I feel like I can cut out at any point. And I've already seen the best part of the show.
So we learned what the box cover of Wheaties would look like?
It looks awesome. I want to buy it.
Photoshopper was quick.
There were a couple I saw. They were quick. It was like done within an hour. It's like, oh, you got to screen cap it and then cut it. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Find the blank Wheaties box. Actually, Photoshop in a few New Day references around it. Yeah.
I like how they mentioned how Woods usually does up his hair and didn't for Boston.
He was going to. Woods later put out a tweet that he was going to do his hair up like the character Ruby Rod from The Fifth Element.
Oh, God.
And he changed his mind?
Yeah. Then he remembered it was Boston and he couldn't be fucked.
I don't need them reminding me of Chris Tucker. I really don't.
So, what'd you think of this match?
Kalisto? That's the thought of my match. Kalisto.
Explain to people what
Jesus
Kalisto
Christ.
Did.
He did.
He is dead as hell. Kalisto really didn't feel like having working knees tomorrow. Selena Del Sol, his backwards flip electric chair drop thing, over a ladder, onto another ladder, and that ladder was not one of the gimmicked wooden ladders, it was metal, and oh god, did it bend.
And I bet it hurt.
Oh.
Speaking of pain.
Yes, I'm in a lot of pain, thank you for noticing.
Okay, yeah, don't sound
you weren't
great.
Expecting that. Yes, I know. You weren't expecting that.
Back away from the microphone.
I don't want to back away from the microphone.
So
I have backed away from the microphone.
There you go. That
works. This is my new wireless microphone.
Oh, boy.
I just thought I'd share.
I can tell. It sounds all right. Good time to do a sound check.
Yeah, well, you know, I called Mace because you were busy.
I was busy.
I was
busy.
Don't worry, we're only 18 minutes into the show getting shit sorted out, so we're doing better than WWE.
Well, there you go, yeah. You guys are complaining that the network was down for the free view when YouTube was up running properly. Was anybody else having problems? Or just you guys?
Everybody. No, everybody. I talked to, like, a few people on Twitter, other people on my Skype that do it. That get it through Xbox Live, PC, every other format that they can get their hands on. Every single format was down.
Wow.
Server issues.
Yeah, well, like Omega said, get your shit together.
Yeah, as Omega mentioned, Kalisto did his spot. I liked, and like the reference is made by Woods, who was on commentary, by the way, about WWE 2K16 and the guys resting and even having specials saved in the bank. That made me laugh.
I was waiting for the shout-outs to, you know, Boss, Big Wool. just get all of your up-up-down-down references in there.
Right, yeah. Cole, try to plug the YouTube channel.
I heard it for a second.
Yeah, then Vince probably cut him off. Don't you dare promote that shit!
No, it's part of their WWE YouTube thing, so they should promote it. This was a good match. There was a monkey flip 450 by the Lucha Dragons.
That was impressive. Like, that takes some real skill to be able to pull off.
Skill and timing, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. But there was a lot of those, like, really crazy spots. Like, I believe you had Sin Cara doing a Hurricane Rana to Kofi, who basically clipped his forehead on the ladder, went out of the ring, and then sold it like he was shot in the head.
Let me ask you this. Are you sure it was Sin Cara or was it Kalisto? Because the announcers didn't know who was which Mexican was what Mexican.
That's what I mean.
Well, if JBL can't tell the black people apart, then I guess we can't tell the masked Mexicans across either.
Yeah, Xavier Woods is correcting everyone.
Just totally racist. Thank God for Xavier Woods on the mic.
He saved Cole's commentary.
Not an easy task.
They got the clone Cole for this one, didn't they?
This one's starting to rot a little around the edges.
Yeah, this was a match that you expected from this. It was a ladder match, so you basically got a lot of car crashing spots. you know, people going through ladders, off ladders, slipping over ropes, bouncing off other things. Big E bench pressing a ladder and two Mexicans.
That was half impressive. You got to admit it.
I want to see how much that man can bench.
For real.
Like, seriously, like, I reckon he'd be one of those people that you could put some of the heaviest weights on the damn thing. You do, like, two or three reps. He's like, is there any more weight? People jump on it. And he's like, nah, keep going. Keep going. Like, I seriously, I was talking to a friend on Skype at the time. And we both said, like, I want to see John Cena versus Big E Langston versus Mark Henry in a bench press contest.
A bench press off.
Yeah, like all three men. Just how much can you bench and how many reps can you do?
So we get everyone competing for the Pro Do You Even Lift Championship.
Pretty much, and I believe Mark Henry starts out with a truck.
Two trucks. Get it right.
He held a limousine at bay with his legs at one point in time, didn't he?
He pulled two tractor trailers at one point.
Yeah, when Mark Henry calls himself the world's strongest man, he ain't bullshitting.
He ain't far off.
So in the end, as he was bench pressing the ladder, Kalisto then climbs up the ladder, and then, well, Xavier Woods is like, his men's are in trouble. He's going to throw his trombone at a Kalisto, and down goes the Kalisto.
Yeah, just to steal your line, who throws a trombone? I mean, honestly.
Well done, Tim.
Yeah.
Yes, well, you know, I know a good. I know funny when I steal it.
I mean, surely you take the rod out first, that way you got two shots, right?
Maybe they were pressed for time.
Or he just knows he has good aim? Who knows? Kofi goes up, grabs belt. New Day retains. Good opener.
It was a hot opener, which is what they needed to begin this show with.
And it was it was your standard clusterfuck ladder match.
It won't rank up there as one of the all-time greatest ladder matches, but it was a good match.
At its moments.
Someone described it as a clown car crashing into a firework factory.
Who the hell said that?
Someone on Twitter.
Because that's not a bad analogy.
I like it.
A million billion stars.
You follow Matthew as well.
Yeah. So anyway, next match, put us to sleep.
My notes go as follows. Ryback versus Rusev. It was a match.
What did I tell you about that?
Tell me what you said, Tim.
Oh, Christ. You know, I have to bring it up because I forget.
Basically, this match was your stock standard hoss match. Two big guys bashing against each other till one of them falls down.
It was,
you have Lana around the outside taking flops from the John Cena school of flopping.
So, they fought three times now, right? Lana has faked the injury three times now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How stupid is Ryback?
Well,
he's a guy who walks around screaming, feed me more. Do you really need an explanation?
This is a man who ordered a protein shake at a stadium concession stand.
True.
Legit.
True. But at some point...
I found it.
At some point, he should realize that he should have a brain, maybe, and not fall for this...
Well, first, you have to get the protein powder out of his skull.
How does one get the protein powder out of a skull?
Is that why he keeps knocking himself in the side, in the temple?
He's trying to shake it loose, because he knows there's something he needs to figure out, but he can't quite piece it together.
Yeah, sort of shake it out of his opposite ear, you know?
So, what happened was Lana got hurt as she got bumped into Ryback, and he was concerned a little bit, and, you know, this allowed Rusev to take control. Ryback blocks the Accolade, goes for Shell Shock, gets taken down, Accolade, Rusev crushed the Ryback.
This is the part where I miss, like, old school WWE, where you just pile driver at the start of the match and eliminate it. There, you're injured, go!
So, we've seen this match three times now. How many more times are we going to see this match?
Oh my god. Tomorrow
night.
How much
does WWE hate us?
How many nights between now and Royal Rumble?
About 6-7 weeks.
this year, that's all.
Keep in mind, we have SmackDown.
Okay, so take the answer and double it, so that'll only be anywhere from 12 to 14. Including Tribute to the Troops, I believe.
When is Tribute to the Troops this year?
December 23rd. Wednesday.
Okay.
On the USA Network for 2 hours. On USA Week. Where Omega will next Sunday watch Santa's Little Helper.
No, I will not.
Darn it. You're gonna try.
No. Not really. Rather gargle with shards of glass. Thank you.
Would you like to see Ryback and Rusev go in an Iron Man match instead?
No.
Could say something else. But anyway, we'll move on. We'll transition to our next contest. U.S. title, Del Rio and Swagger.
Who was looking forward to this match?
Swagger.
Because he finally got back on
TV. I get a paycheck!
This was a chairs match, by the way. He got back on TV. He became number one contender by...
There's no number one contender for the U.S. or Intercontinental title. It's just whoever happened to punch him after the last pay-per-view first.
And that just happened to be Swagger, so he got a chance.
I guess he beat Stardust technically to become number one contender?
No, he beat Stardust at one point and then just kept his feud with Del Rio going.
I guess.
Because, remember, the whole feud started was with him basically going to Zeb and going, the fuck.
And he's doing it for the Zeb? He's doing it for the people?
Rusev was the one who did it for Lana, did it for the people.
No.
As he tweeted later in the night.
But he hasn't done the Lana. They're saving themselves for marriage.
God.
That's not what he says.
Uh-huh. Sure.
This was a match.
Yep, you got that. Yeah. Right.
It was a match. If you've seen Swagger and Del Rio, you've seen Swagger and Del Rio. This one had chairs.
Yeah, and keep in mind, this was their go-to feud when they were both on their first time around in WWE.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, before Del Rio started punching people backstage, before Swagger started getting into problems with the wellness policy.
So, yeah, it was a match. The theme of the night was people throw chairs at people. Del Rio threw chairs at Swagger.
Rio threw chairs at the chairs around Swagger.
Yes. He didn't hit Swagger. He just started throwing chairs in his area.
General direction.
Yeah.
And props to Omega for the funny tweet at the start of this match, by the way.
Which was what, Omega?
What'd you tweet?
I tweeted out all of Swagger's fans showed up ringside for this match, and it was a shot of all the empty chairs lining around the ring.
That was well done.
Okay, yeah. Kudos. Yeah. You just won the internet for tonight.
Swagger had the ankle lock in with the chair, because that hurt more, just like on a table. Swagger bomb for a two count, and then double stomp onto a pile of chairs, where it looked like Del Rio came down on his leg awkwardly, and picked up the win.
Yeah, and I'm just legitimately wondering if he landed wrong and twisted his knee, or if he was just selling after the fact.
Every time he does that move, it looks like he's going to hurt himself.
Considering how well Del Rio was later in the night, yeah, he was fine.
He was fine, but at some point he's going to hurt himself. He's going to come down wrong.
Hey, as long as he has the line in his contract that says guaranteed money, he don't care. He blows out a knee, he takes time off and collects a paycheck. If that doesn't work, oh well, it's back to Lucha Underground and AAA.
Which, by the way, now has Rey Mysterio on board, does Lucha Underground, for those unaware.
And in breaking news, Rey Mysterio has blown out his knees again.
What's funny is there was a picture of him at an indie show with a crutch, and then a week later he's wrestling at Lucha Underground.
Yeah, he ain't gonna last much longer.
No, his knees are going... Yeah, he has bad knees. He should just stop. So Del Rio is still your United States champion. Anyone really shocked that Swagger didn't win.
The shock would be.
I know.
I picked Swagger. Why the fuck did I pick Swagger?
Why did you?
It was my only fucking wrong prediction of the night.
This was the easiest.
Fucking Swagger.
I have a question for Mace. Did you have a brain fart halfway through when you were picking?
I figured Zeb Coulter was going to be involved in this, and there was going to be like, you know, a reuniting of Swagger and Zeb. That's why I picked him. And when there was no Zeb, I'm sitting there going, no, you fucked up my picks.
Mace, this was the easiest match to pick.
Rub it in.
Up the fuck shut.
There was no way Swagger would win this match. I mean, it's Swagger.
From Yoda you learn to talk.
So, we move on. Transition again. Fade into 8-man tag team elimination tables match. Wyatt Family versus Team ECW. Dreamer, Rhino, Dudley Boyz. This was fun.
Fun match.
Yeah, it's fun.
Damn fun match.
Yeah, really?
Sheets, graders, trash cans, kendo sticks. It was like the 90s came back. Just without the blood.
I was just about to say, if you're a fan of ECW, this was highly reminiscent.
What didn't you like, Omega?
Oh, no. This match was a mess. Like, there were a lot of really sloppy spots, especially at the beginning.
Which one was it? Was it... That was Harper that put his foot... Or was it Strowman that put his foot through the table?
Yeah, Strowman broke the first table. And then...
And he didn't get eliminated from it. I call it technicality on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he didn't get eliminated.
Well, apparently, wasn't it JBL that said that you had to put both feet through?
No, that was Lance Storm on Twitter.
Lance Storm.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what where I read it.
Yeah.
I think because everyone brought up, remember, Big Show Galame with the table stepping through it.
Yeah. And then D-Von broke Rowan's table rolling off of it too fast.
It just
so
broke.
You broke two tables so far, and there's no eliminations. And it completely fucked the whole "we're putting you through the table with your name on it" shtick.
And then all you heard was "keep him busy."
Yeah, yeah. When they had to
get another table quick.
Keep busy.
You mentioned calling spots later, Tim, but keep him busy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So eliminations are growing via 3D.
Yeah.
Rhino versus Luke Harper boot, and Omega go. What else are sloppiness?
Did anyone catch Bubba jumping on Braun?
I was going to get to that, yeah.
Good lord.
Yeah. Braun's special. Braun is a special, special person.
My name is Braun.
He had a 260-pound guy jump on him, and he couldn't even fall over from it.
Wait, when did Bubba become 260?
I don't know how much Bubba Ray weighs right now. I don't keep track of them.
Are you saying he weighs more or less?
More. He's like 300 pounds. Just point that out.
You're saying 280, 285.
Okay, good. Anyway, back away from the weight aspect. Yeah. Strowman needs work.
He's not quite polished.
Are you waiting for an argument?
No, I was trying to figure out a nice way to say it. He just
No.
Wait a second.
Roman Reigns needs work. Strowman needs a complete overhaul.
What podcast are you on right now? Trying to think of a way to say it. Just fucking say it.
By the way, was it just me tonight, or did Rhino look like he was auditioning to become one of the next Wyatts?
A little scraggly?
Yeah, very scraggly.
Well, good thing he had some time as a rookie down in NXT to grow that beard. And, you know.
The next great NXT call-up. Rhino!
You know what the scary thing about all of that is? There are people out there who actually believe that.
Yep, yeah.
It's like when Paul McCartney did that song with who was it that he did that song with recently, just not too long ago.
I don't know.
I don't know, some popular R&B hip-hop rapper dude, and all these people on Twitter are like, this new McCartney guy sounds like he might have a future.
Oh, I remember that.
Like, excuse me? The fuck?
You know, people are special, Tim. People are special.
People are special.
People are fucking idiots.
Like Strowman.
Like Strowman.
Strowman's special.
Very, very special.
Fucking idiot.
Was it, he did something with Kanye West, I think it was.
Was it Kanye West?
Yeah.
I was thinking Kanye, but I'm thinking, no, it couldn't have been Kanye.
Yeah, his Wikipedia.
Maybe it was.
His Wikipedia says Kanye.
Okay.
Because that's never wrong.
Never, never wrong.
Yeah, Wikipedia is the awesomest source available on the interwebs.
Exactly. Devon got eliminated when Bray spiked him through a table. Dreamer got eliminated via Flying Luke. Best way to put that one. So it was a 3-on-1. Wyatt versus Bubba Ray Dudley.
Yeah, the thing I'm disappointed is they wouldn't let him light the table on fire.
Yeah.
There's,
you know,
almost
that was a no.
there's almost part of me that thought, like, because the last thing Bubba did before he got real was slam his hand down on the table with a lighter, and it looked like he might have been trying to accidentally light it, because the timing of the spot would have worked out if that table had been on fire, because it was a really quick slam through the table after that.
Okay, so the lighter botched.
No,
maybe,
but I think he was, if he could pull it off and say accidentally it went on fire.
trying to get away with one.
Yeah. If that's the case, that's probably what happened.
Which would have been kind of awesome.
Yeah, so we had the flaming table tease. I thought it was like, fire, we're going to have fire. That fire would be cool.
Fire table! Aw.
Uh-huh.
Boo.
No.
Lindsay's at home going, not right back.
Everyone's like, put Ryback through the table. Get rid of him.
Set Ryback on fire.
Set him on fire. Strowman put Bubba through the table. Wyatt's win. No real surprise there. So, I put this out on Twitter. ECW's dead. Time for WCW?
No, that was killed last year at WrestleMania.
But if they had to...
No, that was killed by Seth Rollins in a turnbuckle powerbomb.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Who would be a team WCW at this point that they could honestly get?
Who's left and healthy who is known outside of, like, Jericho?
Scott Steiner?
No, he's in trouble. He's in trouble. 150% in trouble.
Trying to remember people from WCW, it's difficult.
Yeah, like, because everyone who made a name for themselves in WCW are either too old to really work at this point, or moved on to WWE where they had a better career.
Let's see.
Bring back Disco Inferno, Buff Bagwell.
I was going to say Disco Inferno. You can get Conan, get Glacier. Need one more.
Can we reunite the Filthy Animals?
Unless Wright. You know Necromancy.
Alex Wright.
Das Wonder Kid.
Das Wonder Kind.
Wonder
Kind.
I know. Can we get Glacier?
Doesn't he already work for them in training?
I don't think so. Does he? I don't think he does. Maybe.
We have that reminds me. We have Norman Smiley on the card.
We do.
We're paying Norman Smiley right now.
We do have Norman Smiley. Oh,
Can we bring back the greatest WCW champion of all time, David Arquette?
And we're forgetting the five-time WCW champion, Booker T.
No, he's too busy going shucky, shucky, quack, quack on a pre-show.
Did he really have ducks fall on him?
Yes.
See, also, technically, we could say The Big Show. Or maybe bring back that guy, you know, Ron Simmons, who was the WCW World Champion at one point.
Him.
Really
maybe Goldberg, if
WCW's
you really want
to
break
legacy,
out. Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, I'm sure they want a paycheck. Bring back X-Pac.
Oh, no, you can't bring back X-Pac.
He always wants a paycheck.
He's got some kind of a blood disease. They won't let him actually wrestle in the ring anymore.
Let's see. How much of Raven's flock is still around?
Scotty Riggs is on Twitter.
I know Kidman works for probably about $1,500 in a bag of weed. I'm not actually kidding. That was his rate when he came down here last time.
Oh, I believe it. It's just still funny. Anyway, on that note, we're going to take our first time out of the evening, everybody. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We got the rest of the pay-per-view to break down, and then we're going to take a look at Pick'em and who might have won something. We'll be back right after this.
Thursday nights, you need to experience The Rack. From wrestling news, discussions, and interviews with wrestling's biggest superstars, like Kane, Seth Rollins, Edge, and more. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, on RackRadioShow.com.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not going to sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Oh, that's right. Oh, the show was just recently.
It was this past Sunday. It's a plug into a segue.
Hey, wait. Give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute. I'll be right back.
Really? Come on, now.
Man.
Tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree. Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait. That's all.
Los Matadores versus the Real American. You all
I'm
pick...
going with that. Never mind, sorry. You're... We're not making it.
I seen him too in action, and I was, like, all excited. Oh, that's so funny.
Not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
No. as luck would have it, I believe Los Matadores won.
Yep, and see, if I'd seen him face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good, I would have picked them if I had seen them. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, that pick, I was going to make picks I've already made picks on. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The team has titles on the line. AJ Lee versus Brie Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Brie Bella. I do remember that.
You do? Brie Bella lost the match, with Ace and Rob picked Brie. So you picked AJ Lee.
Oh my god! Jake doesn't work it out!
I believe he changed his answer, Rock.
Oh shit, well that's one for me, because I'm sticking to my original pick.
Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you,
I told you, I'm my own worst enemy.
He's coming, just like. Bump my HP up to like almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
It's that time once again to spread some holiday cheer and jingle all the rack.
Ho, ho, ho!
Our Christmas special is closing in, and we are looking for questions from all of you for our favorite Ask the Rack.
Have you been naughty or nice?
Whether it's holiday-related, wrestling-related, or even if you want to take a shot or two at King Kittens.
This year, you're getting a lump of coal.
Wait. No. That's just our job. You ask it, we answer it, which is why it's Ask the Rack. You can submit your questions via Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, at Lins Ward, LANSWRD, or at Rack Radio Show, or you can email them to us, media@wildtalkradio.com. Deadline for questions is December 22nd. Don't forget, December 22nd. Join us for Jingle All the Rack this Christmas right here on Wild Talk Radio Network.
Came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your...
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
Welcome back, WTR Sunday Night Rush Talk, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, breaking down cables, ladders, and chairs. What did you call it, Omega? Total lackluster creativity or lack of creativity?
Totally lacking creativity.
Yeah, same thing. That works. So where were we, Rock? Oh, before we move on, Mace, could you do me a huge favor? There's somebody listening who does not understand the definition of the phrase meh, which you coined and everybody stole.
The phrase meh dates back to that time, probably a Wednesday. It is a show of frustration or disappointment.
Was it Tuesday or Wednesday?
It's usually Wednesday.
Okay.
Back in the day is always a Wednesday for some reason.
Okay. Back in the day, it was a Wednesday because we're going to go with that one.
It's basically when someone says meh, it's sort of like saying it was a match, it was a thing, that happened. It's just a very short way of saying it.
And, of course, it has transformed since then to be, I can't be bothered. Pretty much.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So that's the definition of meh. Thank you very much. Once again, everybody, don't forget, you can listen to WTR Sunday Night and every other thing that we got going on the Wild Talk Radio Network by downloading the TuneIn app. Get it on your mobile device. Search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And that frees you up from being in front of your computer whenever we go live. You can listen to us while you're driving around the city scoping Betty's, as they say, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, 100% free and good for you and great for me.
Who says scoping Betty's?
That was actually a term at the turn of the
21st century. Can I get JBL to translate that reference for me?
No, that's still too new for JBL.
By the way, if you're watching at home on the Twitch player, there is the original meh t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
On the
screen. Buy one.
Somewhere.
For $3,000.
Yes.
Or something like that. Maybe 25. I don't
something
know. 32?
Something to that effect. I don't know.
The idea was to run 1,000 shirts and make a $3 profit off of each one. We decided to make one shirt and get a $3,000 profit off of that. Cut out the middleman.
That just reminds me of an app that was created one time. The app sold for, like, I think it was $90,000. Did absolutely nothing other than say, I'm rich. 100 people bought the goddamn thing. Pissed me off.
By the way, since we have to earn the right to do this, how about them Cowboys, Kent Kittens? Huh? 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 How about them? How about them?
Did they lose?
They lost 28-7.
Who did they play?
The Packers.
Oh, you realize now we're going to get a message telling us where to go.
Oh, I know. No, we were having a conversation. He heard the commercial for the rack. And he said, Exactly, you have to earn the right to give me shit, so here's us giving you shit. Yeah, how about them Cowboys?
Go Pack, go. You know, I'm a Green Bay Packers fan, so.
I mean, Eddie Lacy hasn't done anything all year, and you guys let him run for 120 yards? Just saying. Anyway. Okay.
Just saying, where were we in the pay-per-view?
Up next, Intercontinental Championship, Kevin Owens versus Dean Ambrose. And this is where we'll probably get a clip for Omega where Kevin Owens screams, "Sports! Yeah!"
What?
That's what he said. He was trying to be all heel and stuff. He screams, "Sports! Yeah!"
Okay. Fun match.
I'm going to talk at the crowd and get my heel heat because as soon as I get in the ring, it's going to disappear.
And
why won't you people hate me?
And to follow up with him, the quote is, "Fuck you. You know we're playing a third string quarterback, dick."
Excuses. Winners never make excuses.
Just saying. So yeah, Owens was trying to be a heel. Get crowd boo him. Ambrose and Owens had a good match.
I enjoyed it. The end of it surprised me because I wasn't expecting it to happen. But don't get me wrong.
That's generally how a surprise works, Tim.
Yeah. But don't get me wrong. I'm a big KO fan. I figured he'd retain. I'm a big Ambrose fan, too. So regardless of the outcome, I was going to be satisfied, pleased with the results.
And this is where we learn Kevin Owens needs longer arms.
Yeah, because that pinfall was completely botched. He just, like, 2 inches too short.
I got my finger.
Reach, Owens, reach.
But you could tell that referee pulled up so hard, and he didn't even, Owens still didn't have his finger on the rope.
Yeah. So the referee, like, moved his arm as he got up over to the rope. They tried on that one. But no, this was good. Really good. They have good chemistry. I don't think they've worked many times together. But it was enjoyable. Good false finishes at the end. Including the finger on the rope. But the Papa Power Bomb turned into a Hurricanrana. Into a pin. Dean Ambrose is your brand new Intercontinental Champion.
And 99% of this match was not sloppy.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
and then Dean Ambrose tried to, like, headbutt the guy in the third row as soon as he won the match. That was, like, seriously, that guy tried to jump into the crowd. What the fuck? You don't do that unless security's around to protect you.
He's Dean Ambrose. What else do you expect?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, nowadays you might want to think twice.
Yeah, just ask Del Rio when you get close to the fans.
Especially if they don't like you that much.
Hey, Dan, isn't Ambrose the one who like almost got air quote stabbed by a fan jumping the rail?
Yes.
Yeah, that was the recent news. Yes.
This was a quote I saw online. Congratulations to the fanfic universe of Dean Ambrose, who is going to get mega laid tonight in about 35 different alternate universes.
Wow.
Because it's true.
And holy cow, Sheamus' back looks bad.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get there.
We'll get there.
We'll get there. Our next contest of the evening, WWE Divas Championship, is on the line. Charlotte defends against Paige. Charlotte had the Nature Boy Ric Flair ringside. And the first thing that I enjoyed from this match was Paige mocking the Flair strut. It was hysterical.
Yeah, because she does it like she's trying to do some sort of really bad dance on Broadway.
Yeah.
Shout out to Team Bad for wearing wigs trying to pretend that they were Team PCB.
Tamina in the wig.
Oh, Tamina in the wig and the goggles. That's fucking hilarious.
That was funny.
She's the biggie of that group. But as for the actual match, sloppy as fuck. And I really just didn't give a shit.
This was, for me,
a bathroom break.
This was not a match that you would expect from two NXT veterans, really.
Yeah, pretty much. Like these were two of the highest rated divas to come out of NXT, and then they're putting on matches that are pretty much the drizzling shits on pay-per-view, and on Raw, and on SmackDown.
And I'm pretty sure.
The sad thing is, it doesn't matter how good they did in NXT. When they have the main storyline writers writing their and booking their matches, it's going to be shit because they don't know how to write a women's match, which should just be as simple as write a wrestling match.
Who would you get to write a women's wrestling match?
Not them. I don't know who.
Lita?
Bring back Fit Finlay.
He already works for the company.
Well, then put him back in charge of the goddamn women's division, because when last time he was writing for it, they actually did some good shit.
And it was good, yeah. But if you're not going to bring Fit Finlay back, would you talk to Lita, hypothetically speaking?
Lita works as a producer backstage at the company.
That doesn't do anything to alter my question.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. She's with the company. I don't think Omega even wants to touch this one because we're talking about, because I brought up Lita.
No, I'm just completely disinterested in this because I have no idea like who you would book, like who would you give like the pen to for the women's division.
Besides,
it's not a matter of who you want
wrestlers
writing them. I just want them written the same way you write the men, like they're actual wrestlers. I get the feeling whoever's doing the writing is taking it very, very easy on the women. In spite of showing what they can do down in NXT, they're still extremely careful with them.
So basically write for them as wrestlers first, gender second.
No. Wrestlers first, period.
And don't look at their gender second.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, having Ric Flair hang out, I think, is just they're using Ric to garner interest because I think that they're realizing Charlotte's a little bit of a lead balloon, maybe. I could be wrong. This is just my opinion.
No, but we know that Charlotte can actually be something. She can be her own person. That's what she was in NXT. Yeah, when she first came in, she had Rick by her side the first couple of times. Then they turned around, fucked him back off, and she developed into her own person.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's been called up, and we've gone straight back to she's Ric Flair's daughter and just amplified it by a million. What she needs to do is tell her dad to fuck off and actually be given a chance to become her own person.
The problem is they're trying to do everything they can to sell the fact that she is a Flair.
Yes, and that's what's going to kill her in the long term.
Yeah. I can't disagree with you on that one. I mean, she was good in NXT, like you said, when she was doing her own thing. But I don't know. What do they figure that having Rick on the main roster with her is going to help her, because it's not working? Is this their thinking?
Their thinking is, hey, let's point out that she's a Flair. Let's have Ric Flair, who is extremely over with just about every crowd that we go to, be her manager.
Let's make this real. Let's make this more real. This is here a little more accurate to what they're thinking. She's Flair. He's Flair. We'll make her Flair. That's about it.
Yeah, good.
Is Ric Flair being more involved with how her character is developing? Basically, you know, their way of apologizing because of what they said about Reed.
That has
nothing
to do
with anything. About what they said about Reed.
Yeah, absolutely nothing.
Nah, I'm just asking questions. So the story of the match goes, one, Charlie did the Flair flop. Ric Flair attempted to take the turnbuckle off early in the match, and that played into the finish. There was a rampage for a two count. Flair put Charlotte's leg on the rope. Charlotte was crawled back to the corner. Paige came after her, gets thrown into the removed turnbuckle at this point to retain the championship.
Meh.
Seems like we're done with Charlotte and Paige, possibly? Or do we get one more match at least, too?
Oh, God.
I think we're done at this point.
Yeah, I'm hoping we are.
Yeah, they're going Charlotte Becky at this point, and we can move Paige on to someone from Team Bad.
Unless we get Charlotte and Paige tomorrow, then you move on to Becky. No?
No, we begin Charlotte Becky tomorrow night. But it'll be Charlotte versus Becky with Paige being the one who sort of gets Becky on her side, while she's meant to be a heel, I'm not even gonna start.
I don't see that, because then you take away the one face that the one like pure face that whole division has at that point.
Yeah, Omega, wasn't it you who were saying that you were confused as to who you're supposed to cheer for?
I didn't know. Like, the Divas division is such a wreck right now. I don't know. Team Bad are supposed to be heels at this point. They're named Team Bad, for God's sakes. I know Team Bella is supposed to be all heels.
Yep.
And now we have Charlotte, who's turned going pure Flair, dirty player method. We've got Paige, who's been a raging bitch this whole time.
Yep.
And the only faces left are Natalya, who they do nothing with, and Becky. Like, at this point, you can't have Paige turn Becky or anything like that, because there'd be nobody left.
Well, I think they should just drop these factions completely and let the majority of these girls go on,
The factions were the worst mistake they had. That was the writers going, I don't know how to write for 9 women, so let's make one character out of 3 women, and we'll make 3 groups.
Yep. But, I don't know, whoever they got just doesn't have the right mentality. Don't forget, they love seeking out soap opera writers for positions behind the scenes.
Well, they've only got one evil twin, and they're not allowed to mention fucking on the air. So that pretty much does in soap opera writing.
So, yeah. I'm assuming this is a brand new listener, kind of sort of almost backing up what I was talking about when I brought in Lita. Lita and Trish had an absolutely awesome feud. Whoever wrote that should write something similar for Charlotte and Sasha, or Sasha and Becky, or Sasha
any
and
of them,
any of them.
For God's sakes, I want one good story for the girls.
So yeah, but you know, as much as we keep harping and bitching about it, if they do repeat something for these new girls that they were doing for Trish, Lita, Mickey James, you know people are going to be bitching about it. Oh, they can't think anything new. They're going back to what they did before.
I mean, but Sheamus is rehashing Austin 3:16.
Well, here's the thing.
We're already there.
Yeah, there's nothing new under the sun. There isn't. There's just different ways to tell the same bunch of stories. And I don't think that creative has found the different ways yet.
It's getting frustrating. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can make a storyline out of how these girls cannot keep their calls down to a low volume.
Cena can't.
Cena can't either.
Yeah.
Cena did that so much, he's got his own spot in Botchamania.
Because this was the match that you brought up that I complained about. Clear as day, I could hear Paige calling the movesets.
I saw a lot of people mentioning that. I can hear every word they say. One person said, me and my girlfriend could enact this match in our living room at this point.
Yeah.
Is it the workers or is it WWE's microphones?
Well, it's
not, it's not the microphones because you don't hear it.
It's a combination of two.
Yeah, well, part of it is, yeah, the microphones are too sensitive and, you know, they're trying to get all the ring sounds they can and it's HD TV, so it's all super high def audio and all that, but
I get that, but you can still have super high def audio by hanging a whole whack of microphones from the ceiling to pick it up from below. That's what they do at sporting events.
You're not allowed to tell me about production, Tim.
That's what they do at sporting events. Yeah, I know you in production, you're a god. That's all fine and dandy.
Clip.
Thank you.
Fuck. God damn it, don't you dare play that back.
Omega just got his Christmas present for the year.
Yeah, I won a 30-minute loop of that for Christmas, Rock.
No.
It's coming your way.
It was said sarcastically. Shut up.
But the whole thing with that type of, like, picking up of calls is, yes, the microphones are sensitive, but also it's the perception of the wrestlers. Because when you're in the ring, all you're hearing the sound of the ring when you hit it, and you're hearing the fans around you. You don't take into consideration that the microphones might be sensitive enough to pick you up.
Well,
so you figure, I can get away with calling something if in an emergency. But a lot of the times, like, the old methods of calling became so well known by fans that you can't use them anymore.
Yeah.
Which is why you now have a generation of people like Cena and Paige who are just like, oh, fuck it, I'm just going to call the match. I don't give a shit if I get picked up on it.
Well, let me ask you this. Having worked in the wrestling ring in Australia, were you given any kind of instructions when you first started on how to call a match?
Yeah. I was told that there are certain situations or when you go to start setting specific things up that you can do a quick call. Mm-hmm. But you have to learn how to call in short bursts.
Yeah.
You know, if you get a Do an Irish whip where you duck down then take clothesline. It's basically duck down, take clothesline as you're pushing them up against the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
You get two words. That's how you call. Then you enact it.
You get some absolutely perfect examples. And because, you know, because of what you and I have done, it's really easy for me to spot it when the veterans are making calls. You know they're making calls. You can't hear them. You can't see their faces. They duck their heads into their opponent's neck, shoulder, arm, armpit, whatever, so their faces are hidden when they call.
That's what rest holds are for.
That's exactly
called bigger spots.
Yeah, and the thing that they're doing that Paige wasn't doing tonight. Paige wasn't, you know, hiding her head, hiding her face. All she has to do is turn it into Charlotte's body during one of those rest holds. We're not going to see it because we're not going to see it. It's not going to clue in to us that we're hearing it, but Charlotte's going to hear it, plain as day.
Yeah, unless you are close together at any point, you should not be calling anything. If Charlotte's going up to the top rope and Paige is laying on the ground, Paige should not be calling a goddamn thing.
Yeah.
The thing
the only thing you can get away with is when Charlotte jumps, if she does it the right way, she can say move. As she jumps, and it sounds like she's just grunting.
Well, Botchamania puts up a lot of all of these things all the time, don't they?
It's like an episode every segment, and more often than not, Cena has his own devoted specifically to him. But Paige is becoming a mainstay in that segment.
Yeah,
because she's done this a lot.
Yeah. Oh hell yeah! You know, I brought
a lot of the women have actually started becoming mainstay features. Nikki was one for quite a while as well.
Yeah, well
she was bad for it for a while.
Well, Nikki makes special accidents in the ring. You know,
that could be
changed. She's the one throwing drop kicks from the top rope and slapping her thigh to get the sound effect for the kick when she's missing.
Yep.
Really? You know, and I think the cameras caught Paige, you know, doing, you know, slapping her thigh for a move too tonight.
Yeah. Reflex.
Reflex is one thing, but you know, it's the same as any other spot. If you know you're going to hit, this is how you have to execute. If you know you're going to miss, you have to execute a different way.
Yeah.
You know, it's like two separate moves.
Mm-hmm. Well, I said not to, you know, just a few moments ago, you can tell the veterans, you know, Shawn Michaels is a perfect example. I only ever heard him break kayfabe once, and that's when he was wrestling John Cena. Let's get this shit show on the road. I've got a job to do.
Yet at the same time, Shawn Michaels is the guy who would basically not give a single fuck and go, hey, where's the camera? I just need something to take a look at a reflection while I blade into the damn camera.
Yeah.
Or, oh, wait, I've got to get rid of this blade. Is the camera on me? Drop right in front. Did you see it? It went down. Okay, good.
Yeah, he's done that once or twice.
So, that was the Divas Championship match. We then move on to our main event. The match everybody wanted to see.
In an alternate universe.
WWE Champion Sheamus defending against Roman Reigns. Tables, ladders, chairs.
Oh, fuck.
League of Nations.
They went through all the props around the entrance ramp. All the chairs, all the ladders, all the tables. They went splat. I thought they came up with a creative spot where they had Sheamus deliver white noise off the steel steps through a table. Thought that was good. Looked like it hurt, but thought it was good.
Well, you know, they worked really hard at doing their best to deliver an entertaining match. And, you know, I sat here for a few minutes pretending it was two other people instead of Roman and Sheamus. And the quality of the match itself, just objectively speaking, it was good.
There was nothing wrong with the match.
It's the people in the match and this entire goddamn storyline.
Sort of the problem.
But Mace, you pegged it perfectly tonight. And, you know, it's no surprise to anybody, I think, who's been paying attention to what's going on, how the match was going to turn out.
Yeah, I basically pulled the ending, and I reckon I've probably predicted the next 3 months as well. But this match was exactly what I expected it to be. It was 20-odd minutes of car crash.
Yep.
Here it goes through tables, goes through ladders, throwing chairs at each other, going through that makeshift little set piece that they made.
Mm-hmm.
And then right at the end, oh, let's actually bring the ladder and the title into play. Oh, look, Roman Reigns gets screwed over, Sheamus wins, lol.
Yep. And, you know, I outlined what I see them doing, and you just booked the entire thing right through WrestleMania from that outline perfectly.
Yeah, I originally started booking it as Sheamus wins the belt tonight due to the Nation of Stagnation interfering. Thank you, Omega, for that one. You still own the trademark.
Yay!
Credit where it's
due. Always. Cena returns tomorrow night on Raw to start building a Cena-Sheamus mini-feud. You have, after what happened at the end of the night, Roman Reigns will be getting suspended, but he'll poke Triple H, going, hey, guess what? Let's have a match. Triple H will go, fine, we'll have a match the Royal Rumble.
Yep.
Or Roman will be like, okay, now I'm going to go and win the Royal Rumble. Triple H is going to go come out and go, no, you're not, because you got to beat me to get into the Rumble. Roman, punch. Triple H is out. Okay, now I'm going to go on to win the one Rumble. Who's going to be the champ at WrestleMania? Either Sheamus or Cena. Doesn't really matter which way. Roman Reigns wins the belt at WrestleMania at the point where all his troubles began, and we get a nice, happy ending for Roman Reigns, and we all switch off and go watch something else on Monday nights.
Yeah, there you go. Now, here's the thing. We've been yapping about it ad infinitum since they started pushing Roman, 2 years ago now, it feels like. They want to build him up as the next big thing, and he wasn't ready. He started getting ready, but what did we say they were doing wrong, in our opinion? Of course.
Booking him like Cena.
They were not he was not squashing his opponents. He was not looking like the monster they want him to look like.
I don't think they want him to look like a monster. You know, it's, they know Cena's getting up there in age. He's not going to be able to – you're not going to be able to throw the world championship on him at a moment's notice like you used to be able to every time.
Yeah.
I honestly think they're just trying to come up with the next person who's going to take over that, you know, the kid's favorite spot.
Now, and why hasn't Roman won the title yet and, you know, kept it?
Because every time they get close to it, they're still booing him, and management goes, well, we need a little bit more time. He's not quite ready. We're waiting to get a positive crowd response out of it. Let's give it a couple more months. And then a year goes by.
And what did they finally do tonight to get a thing, you know, a positive crowd response for Roman Reigns?
The goddamn thing they should have done last month and just have Reigns snap and beat the living shit out of everybody that's standing on 2 feet. Or in Sheamus's case, laying dead on the ground.
Yeah, and then capping it off with a beatdown on Trips.
Yeah, that was the only bit, like, I'm not really a fan of. I really don't need to see Roman Reigns versus the Authority once again.
Yeah.
You know, they want to put this roadblock between Roman Reigns and his next shot of the world title, because let's face it, he's getting yet another one.
Yeah.
And Triple H seems like the logical person. It's basically Daniel Bryan 2.0.
Yeah, but I don't
except
think
it won't, except it won't be done on the same night like it was with Daniel.
Yeah, but I don't think that Roman is going to enter the Rumble. I think at Rumble, he's facing Triple H with the stipulation, if you beat me, you got a title shot. If you don't beat me, you will never have another one again.
So you're saying it'll be Roman versus Cena versus Sheamus at WrestleMania then?
I wouldn't be surprised if it's a triple threat.
Yeah, see, that I don't really buy that, because then what's the point of the Royal Rumble? Like, if you have Reigns versus Triple H and Triple H goes, well, you beat me, you get a title shot.
Yeah.
What's the point of the Rumble winner being involved?
Well, Fastlane is the next pay-per-view after Royal Rumble, right?
Yeah, and no winner of the Royal Rumble will be that stupid.
Wasn't thinking that.
Because you got to remember, you still have to have champion versus Rumble winner at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So you use Triple H as the roadblock of Roman getting into the Rumble. So
WWE
that way,
writing, yeah, that I see that now.
Yeah, because then you have, you know, oh, Roman Reigns is back on the role that he was last year, but, you know, can he finally get it? Can he overcome all the stuff that he's been through in the last 12 months at WrestleMania 32?
Yeah,
because that's the story that I believe that they're going to be telling. Is Roman Reigns starts on this big upswing, he gets the roadblock of Triple H. He somehow gets through that, gets into the Rumble, wins the Rumble yet again, goes on to face either Cena or Sheamus at WrestleMania, and that way they can sell the whole thing of, you know, oh, he didn't do it last time, he got so close with Lesnar, but then he got screwed over by Seth Rollins, and then when he went to do it again, he got screwed over by Sheamus. Will somebody screw him out this time? Oh no, he defies all the odds, and Roman Reigns is your glorious champion. Please cheer him. We need the ratings.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding, they need the ratings. Yeah. So, well, that's the TLC pay-per-view for this,
I don't know.
I want to hear
some things from Omega, because he's been very quiet for this match.
Well, yeah, I wasn't going to move on without
just
hearing
rolling
from
along there.
I wasn't going to move on without hearing from him. Just saying, you know, that's the pay-per-view. Omega, what do you think?
I'm kind of disgusted with the whole situation right now. I'm tired of seeing good guys lose and bad guys using the worst tactics to stay in power. It makes the title look like shit. It makes the contenders look like shit. You know, nobody right now in the last 12 months has looked good in the WWE.
No,
not one.
That's the standard formula for your heel champion. The problem, in my viewpoint...
This is month 16. They've been going with that formula.
Exactly. You know, as somebody who has blood wrestling, this has been dragged out too long. I would not drag out this, you know, a storyline like this for as long as they have. And it's not just the one storyline.
Well, technically they really haven't. Like, you had the build-up of Roman Reigns up to WrestleMania 31. Then he got screwed out of the belt. Now, then they let him cool off for a bit. Then, unfortunately, he got injured for a bit, so that took him out a little bit longer, which gave enough time for him to cool off so much that they could go with a fresh build. And that's what we've been getting over the last few months. This is the Roman Reigns Mega Push 2.0.
Yeah.
That's culminating at WrestleMania. So, yeah, like Omega said, you know, we're up to month 16 of this type of thing. But at the same time, you know, what else can you do? You know, Cena's on holiday till, I'm not sure if he's back tomorrow night or if he's back on the 20th.
The
21st? 26th. Oh, or God, back to the 26th.
26th,
So it's two more Raws without Cena.
28th, actually, 20th, because that's a Saturday. 28th.
Well, so we still have two Raws without Cena.
And unless he does a one-off tomorrow night just for appearance's sake. Maybe.
No, because I think he's back up in Washington filming.
Okay.
Because that, I don't think it's filmed. I think that's done filming on the 16th, from all accounts. So it's done soon.
Which means if he comes back, it could be somewhere in the 20 area.
I'm on WWE.com. He's scheduled back on the 26th for the house shows, and his first Raw back is Brooklyn on the 28th.
I reckon that they could probably bring him out for the 21st at the end of the show.
It is the Slammy show.
Just Slammy. As, you know, yeah. Like a cameo style appearance.
No, it's your big tease. It's like, oh my God, John Cena's back. He doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
It's just, oh my God, John Cena's back. Then you have him work the house shows, and then you, the next week on Raw, then you start building your Sheamus versus Cena for Royal Rumble.
Yep.
But anyway, this was a pay-per-view.
That was that yeah. for that. Yeah. Omega?
As, Kalisto?
I just watched Kalisto.
Yeah, that replay's happening right now.
It's really the only thing I want to remember from tonight. Kalisto dying for the sins of this pay-per-view.
The funny thing is, you're not wrong. I have had several people tonight say that this is the pay-per-view, or in the case of Sheamus versus Roman Reigns, the match that we get for our sins.
Jeez, they just replayed that too. Oh my God. God, that looked painful.
Yeah. It was a show.
Nothing to write home about, but I've seen a lot worse. December to December.
Oh, that has a special place in hell we do not discuss.
December to disremember.
Or even better, Elimination Chamber of this year.
No, the one match, that was bad. The Intercontinental match was hideous. That's worst match of the year.
Yeah.
December to Dismember is in its own special little place of, you know, pro wrestling hell. Like, you don't
imagine
mention
two
that
and a
place.
Half hours of, what was the name of that guy?
It wasn't even 2.5 hours.
How long
like
was
2 hours, 10 minutes.
Oh, short.
That's the one that cut, like, super short.
Yeah, they ran short on that one.
They realized it was shitty and said, oh, shit, we better cut it.
So
they realize, oh, it's the ECW roster. We don't have enough people to fill a pay-per-view.
There you go.
But
so, pick-em results?
Before we get to pick-em results, there's something positive we can all look forward to. And that's Wednesday. Wednesday. NXT TakeOver.
Yeah, fuck you guys. I'm going to be sleeping.
Yeah, it's going to be in the middle of the night for you, isn't it, Mace?
I believe it's, what, 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Wednesday for... Americans, yes. Eastern time?
Eastern time, yeah. It'll be
which would
1
make
o'clock
it,
my time.
Which would make it 7 a.m. my time?
7 o'clock Thursday morning in Australia, Eastern Australia.
Hey.
Pretty much.
It's like it's WrestleMania all over again.
Yeah, I'll be, if I don't get fired tomorrow, I'll be in the middle of my workday.
But we get to look forward to seeing Finn Balor and Samoa Joe tear a house down in London. That's something positive to look forward to.
Well, you know what? I'm watching Wednesday as soon as I get home from work, so the replay.
The replay on the WWE Network, so you'll get your money's worth. at this point.
I'll set my alarm for it. I'll set my alarm for it and sort of go, maybe not, and go back to sleep.
That said, it's the moment everyone has been waiting for.
To find the winner of Pick'em.
To find out if they want a copy of From the Man Kitchen, written by Tim Stein.
Written by yours truly, yeah.
So who won Pick'em, Tim?
Well, we've got a two-way tie. We've got Michael, that Swedish guy in Switzerland or Swedish land or wherever he lives. I'm just teasing Michael. He tied with Chris Pierce. Pierce, man, you and Michael both went 7-0.
So they both have won a copy of From the Man Kitchen.
Yeah, we're not going to dick around with tiebreakers or anything like that. You're both getting a copy of the book in PDF format.
So email...
Because it's close to Christmas.
We're giving people...
And I'm not Jewish and believe in Santa Claus.
Oh, by the way, isn't today the final day of Hanukkah?
Yes, it is.
Oh, there you go. You're from the Jew.
That reminds me. Everyone with a Twitter, use the hashtag KJob for the holidays. That's KJob. KJOB for FOR the holidays right now on your Twitter machine and just do it. Thank you.
There you go. Yeah, Chase, you can still get your hands on a PDF copy of From the Man Kitchen if you wanted that bad, you wanted to win it. It's like $7 American. Just email me shop@mankitchentv.com and I'll explain to you. Or you know what? Hit me up on Twitter, dude.
Make your predictions better.
Yeah, or just predict better. Yeah, but I prefer that you buy it so I can, you know, buy groceries. The PDF's only like what? Like I said, like $7 US. It's cheap.
Because we're not going to tell how much the Canadian dollar's worth today.
Because the Canadian dollar's shit, yep. Thank you, Liberal government. And Prime Minister Trudeau, you dumb fuck. I didn't vote for him. He's not my Prime Minister.
So with all that out of the way, email admin@wildtalkradio.com for the winners.
No. Do not email admin@wildtalkradio.com. That still doesn't work.
Okay. Where can they email you at then?
Tim.Stein@russelltalkradio.com. Pierce, yeah, email me and we'll hook you up through email. With a copy of the book.
There you go.
In PDF format.
And there you go. With that being said, it's time for the all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Stop us now! Oh, we should run down the list. Okay. Michael and Chris Pierce were 7-0. Mace was 6-1, along with Subway, Brent, Jersey Girl, Tommy, Aaron Frost, and Chase were 5-2. Omega, Tim, myself, Lindsay, and Rob were 4-3. Nick Diddy was 3-4, and Matt Schaefer was 3-3.
And I apologize. I got distracted, and I'm blaming Rock for that, for not going through the list.
Should I be worried that I tied with Subway?
Yes.
At 6-1?
Yes.
Yes.
Rock, do you have, like, the spreadsheet where we can see just how many people had Swagger to win tonight?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I've got it in front of me right now. How many people picked Swagger? 2.
See, Mace,
Matt Schaefer and some guy named Mace.
So I'm not the only dumbass on the planet. Awesome.
No, Matt Schaefer's dumbass too. Sorry, Matt.
So
all right, all-time greatest.
Now the all-time greatest. Bumper music. No. Up first, bro.
Dancy roundtable.
No,
with no intro.
There is no intro.
Please don't take my soul away.
We
from
have
this month.
Oh, I could make a comment. I'm not going to make a comment. Bret Hart pulls double duty versus Trish Stratus. Bret Hart pulls double duty at WrestleMania 10. Trish Stratus turns on Chris Jericho, aligns with Christian Omega.
I would give this one to Bret. Trish and Christian just seem like a weird thing, just as a sudden surprise turn. And I don't know, Christian and Trish just, I don't know, just something that was always weird about that to me. You know, Bret pulling two matches in one night? Yeah, It worked. Okay, good on him. That was back in the day when they didn't do that all the time. So that was actually impressive.
Completely sidetracked, the Owen Hart DVD biography documentary section, really, really good. Mace, you're up.
I, too, am going to go with Bret Hart pulls the double duty at WrestleMania 10. You know, the very awesome technical match with his brother Owen, followed up by winning the title at the end of the night against Yokozuna. To me, that was an interesting back-to-back, because you felt like in one way you got sort of the combination of the Bret and Owen feud, and then you had Bret winning the belt at the end of the night and Owen basically going, you know what, I'm not celebrating with you, I'm still pissed off, fuck you. And just continuing that feud, which was pretty good. And also, to be honest, I'm still, you know, riding a nostalgic high from watching that Owen Hart documentary the other day.
Wasn't it really good?
It was. Like, it was only an hour long, which was a bit shorter than most documentaries, but considering... Well, that's the thing. Like, considering what they could and couldn't use, they really did an awesome job at documenting that man's life and the feuds and everything involved in pretty much all of his life.
Really,
and hell,
is.
Showing footage of a match in WCW? I didn't even know Owen ever made it to WCW.
Same here. I was surprised. But they told some really... They kept it very lighthearted about him. They told how of an awesome person he was. They talked about...
The intersection of the Owen talk stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of the biggest ribbers that locker room has ever seen.
They told a lot of rib stories.
I'll tell you right now, they left out a lot more.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You could do a three-hour DVD just on his ribs.
Oh, yeah. But they talked a lot about his ribbing and how lighthearted he liked to keep things in the locker room. And yeah. Go out of your way and see. There's a preview of it on the WWE Network if you don't want to go out and buy the DVD. But it's worth going to see.
Yep.
That said, Tim, I wonder which one you're picking.
Bret Hart sucks.
So he's picking the other Canadians.
So I'm picking Bret Hart.
So Omega, you want
off.
So you want that so you want that part of your Christmas gift too?
What do I want for my Christmas gift?
Not you, Omega.
Oh.
Put things on a loop.
No, shut up. No, I'm picking on Chase because he hates Bret Hart. So you know, but I'll admit it. I want
either
Hart
way. Either way,
really
we're making a joke about. Either way, we're making a joke about you picking a Canadian, Tim. So.
Yes, I know, and that's why I'm just trying to like whitewash the whole fucking thing here, because I know where you guys are going or went, or keep going.
And going and going and going. So why you want to pick
Bret Hart? Yes, you're like the Energizer goddamn bunny with this. Not every Canadian.
The JBL reference for something that hasn't been used in 20 years.
There you go. But yeah, no, Chase, you're right. Owen Hart was a better wrestler than Bret, my buddy Owen Hart. God, I miss him. Yeah, it's unanimous, by the way.
Speaking just quickly before we move on to the next one of the night, I went back and watched a few of those matches that were included in it. The Calgary Stampede show, the In Your House. Which row were you in?
Wait, did you see me?
I'm just wondering, because I'm sure you were there. Come on, be honest.
I was, you see that guy that was there? That was me, in that row.
There were a lot of balding guys with glasses there.
I wasn't balding back then, and I didn't have my glasses on. I didn't get my glasses until 1993.
I love how...
By the way, how young did TJ and Natty look in that at the end of that match? Jesus Christ.
Oh, they were kids. Jesus.
They were kids. Yes, they were.
Yep. They're just little baby kids.
Very baby kids. Up next, the end of the era takes on Edge spearing Mick Foley through a flaming table. Mace.
Personally, for me, I'm going with Foley get speared through the flaming table by Edge at WrestleMania 22.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's one of those moments that every time you hear WrestleMania and hardcore matches or something like that, that's one of those clips that has suddenly become a go-to.
Mm-hmm.
you know, it's one of the best Edge moments. It's one of the best Mick Foley moments. It pops up all the time. However, end of an era, while it had a good moment at the end with Shawn, Triple H, and Taker standing together, it was like the third Triple H and Undertaker match at WrestleMania. And by that point, we were getting sick of back-to-back matches of Taker versus opponent X in some sort of retirement, end-of-an-era style match. So, yeah. Foley.
Omega.
I'll be honest, I wasn't listening.
End of the era versus Edge spearing Mick Foley through a flaming table subway. Or Rob.
Shut up.
Just call him Subrobway.
You know, I hate to pick the flaming table spot just because God, I've seen so many flaming table spots. They're not common, but it seems like a weird spot to pick as a WrestleMania moment. No, in this case, I would pick end of an era. It's a fantastic match. You know, it's what was supposed to be the end of the Attitude Era, the final two from that time standing and still being able to work a really, really high caliber match. Hell in the Cell got its own intro music. That was cool.
Yeah, it was the battle for Shawn Michaels' love.
Yeah.
I can't deny it. It is.
So, yeah, even though both continued and occasionally wrestled after that, so nothing really ended.
Except Taker has Shawn's love now.
Yes. beat it out of him if he needs to. I'll go end of era.
All right, Tim, break the tie.
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. What's the matchup?
Shut up.
End of an era versus what?
End of the era moves on, because Tim's not listening, so I'm going to pick the pick. End of the era moves on.
Well, first off, no, it's the end of an era. Actually, that's the one it is, the one I'm picking anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. End of the era moves on.
Yeah.
So does Bret Hart pulling double duty next week on the all-time greatest. Cesaro wins the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Taking on
Linda McMahon gets out of the wheelchair. And the Shawn Michaels Razor Ramon ladder match. And Hulk Hogan body slams Andre.
Ooh.
The Giant.
I don't think those two on the, should be matched up against each other so soon. That's just wrong.
Well, then somebody should have fixed that when someone asked, hey, which matchups shouldn't go against each other? I am just pointing these facts out. I do it because I cover my ass when you go, these two shouldn't be matched up against one another so soon.
Yeah, 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 cover your ass. That's what you're good at. I'm just bugging you.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Yeah, screw it. You're not going to settle. I'll just play the music anyway.
Yeah, I'm just going to move on. I have the power to do that. Which is why I asked you this question. Who is the greatest Canadian of all time?
I hate you. You're going to expect me to either say Wayne Gretzky or Bret Hart.
Celine Dion?
Fuck no.
Justin Bieber.
Oh, hell no! I'm going to kick you in the lane down under just for that one.
Dudley Do Right.
What? You know that was a cartoon character, right? He's not real.
Brendan Fraser played him.
Thank you, Omega, for being just as nerdy.
Yeah, Brendan Fraser also happens to be Canadian. You guys knew that, right?
I didn't know Brendan Fraser was a real human being. Yeah.
What's a Brendan Fraser?
Anyway. Greatest Canadian? He was somebody that you guys will not know, but you will know his legacy. Nick? Piss off. The current Canadian Prime Minister is an asshole. Anyway. What I was saying, you'll know his legacy, but you won't know him. He was a spy in World War II, and Ian Fleming's inspiration for James Bond. He's one of the guys that helped break Enigma. Don't ask me his name because I can't remember.
Okay.
Because he was a spy.
Okay, Mace, who is the greatest Australian of all time?
Steve Irwin.
Oh, fuck no. greatest Australian of all time. Shit.
Was there one?
Well, I guess I could go the guy who discovered the country. Because without it, we wouldn't have the country, but that's a bit of a cop-out. these days, the greatest Australian comes down to one of two people: Chris Hemsworth or Hugh Jackman.
And
it depends on which day of the week as to who's more famous.
Yeah, I was sure you were going to pick one nerd and one comedy, that comedian.
No.
Don't like him?
I don't know who the fuck you're talking about.
Well, fuck, if I can remember his name, he's pretty funny. No, not Don Bradman.
No, I'm not a cricket fan, so no, Don Bradman would not get a mention.
Thank you, Josh. Jim Jefferies is a stand-up comedian I was thinking of.
Who?
Jim Jefferies.
Yeah, exactly. Who?
Yeah. Oh, fuck, he's funny.
Okay. So, Omega, who's the greatest American?
Davy Crockett.
The greatest American?
American.
Jack Swagger, aren't you paying attention?
Shut up. Fuck you. Okay, I'm trying to come up with greatest Americans. Let's see which one. Can't pick any founding fathers because they're all slave owning, womanizing assholes.
Trust Chase to pick Del Wilkes.
Well, shit.
Well, shit seems to be very famous everywhere he goes.
But I don't think he's American.
G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe is based on a really badass American, actually.
Real American hero.
He kind of was.
Who was he based on?
Ask me after the show. I'll give you the history lesson.
Oh, gee, I just want the name, not the history lesson.
But can't we stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning hearing the history?
No, this isn't CB fucking radio.
I would cop out and say Abraham Lincoln.
Okay. Which would then lead to me asking Tim, who is the greatest Australian?
I hate you. I don't know very many Australians who would be that great. The guy who did that thing.
More specific.
You know, the guy. That guy.
Needs to be a little bit more specific than...
He did that thing!
I understand he did that thing, but
I don't fucking know! Christ! You have to ask me the Australia question.
Yes.
Why not the American question?
Because you did not get the American one.
I I have no fucking clue.
Well, go find someone. We're going to sit here and wait till you figure out what strain you like.
Ask somebody else for a minute.
No, we're going to sit here and wait.
Yeah, move on and come back, jackass.
Okay, fine. Mace, who is the greatest American?
Greatest American. John Wayne. Because bullets and shooting and stuff.
Alright, Tim.
I'm not ready yet.
Well, it's your turn.
I'm still not ready yet.
Alright, fine. Omega, who is the greatest Norwegian?
Whoa!
No. Who's the greatest Canadian, Omega? I love the reaction. What? Because you're sitting there looking up Canadians.
The Xavier Woods reaction. Can't do that!
But I can.
God, you know this is a bad question when you actually Google greatest Canadians and one of the top lists that comes up is on fucking tripod.
Well, they just got it last year.
We're working on GeoCities. To drop a little history, Alexander Graham Bell.
Not a bad choice. Not a bad choice. All right, Tim.
Howard Florey.
Explain to us who he is.
He literally saved millions.
And millions?
Just millions.
Just millions.
Millions of what?
He saved millions.
Millions of what?
People.
Oh.
From what?
Penicillin.
He saved people from penicillin?
With penicillin. He's the guy that figured out that penicillin could be used to help stop the spread of disease and infection and shit.
Good to know.
Okay, can we go a third round just to complete the circle?
If you want to, I'll go back and put the music back on. Here we go.
Mace, greatest Canadian.
The guy who invented poutine.
That's not Canadian, that's from Quebec. It doesn't count.
It counts.
Quebec's nope. In Canada, so yeah, it counts.
No, we don't consider Quebec to be part of Canada, neither do they.
Omega, who's the greatest Australian?
Paul Hogan.
Tim, who's the Tim, who is the greatest American?
I don't know. Give me a minute. Benjamin goddamn Franklin.
There we go.
He was so bloody important to so many things that arose in the United States and from there globally, and not just in politics.
Well, that'll do it for Quick Hits right here on WTR Sunday night.
Hey, Chase Merriman, he's a great American, or at least he would be if he would shut up about Del Wilkes a little bit. Yeah, that's it. Another episode of WTR Sunday Night. Don't forget, tomorrow night, everybody, the Raw Post Show immediately following Raw right here tomorrow night.
Yes, yeah, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything goes down on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, and he loves to take 20 minutes doing it.
I know.
Yeah. Speaking about taking 20 minutes, Thursday night, the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rat with your host, Lindsay Ward.
We're back. We're live.
Live!
Live. We're back. No more podcasts.
For it's the only goddamn live show this December.
Yeah, the only time we're live this December. We're live this week. We'll be talking NXT TakeOver. We'll talk WWE tables, ladders, and chairs. All the news you can possibly handle. It's back Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network as well as GoRick.net as well. I'll talk more about that on Thursday. You can send the questions for Ask the Rack to media at wildtalkradio.com or twitter.com/rackradioshow, facebook.com/rackradioshow, or at Lynn's Ward or at wildtalkradio on the Twitters. As well, check out rackradioshow.com for everything we've done. Go back and listen to the best of show we did this past week with interviews with Jim Ross, the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, and Seth Rollins.
Saturday night around midnight, or at least as close as they can get to it. It's another edition of CB Radio. The wild, the wacky, the weird, the unusual, the strange,
the weird,
the ethereal.
Last night we played Name That Sinatra Song.
I could have won.
Then why didn't you join us and play?
Because I didn't know you were playing. I was sleeping.
Well, that's your fault. We learned about the holidays with Mr. Holiday himself, Lone Jobber. That's why you have to use the hashtag KJob for the holidays. That's KJOBFOR, the holidays. And he'll do some sort of weird holiday shows. Because, yeah, so if you have a Twitter, use the hashtag. Just put out the hashtag, because I had to get like 10 people to do it, and we're almost at 10. So, please, use the hashtag, and he'll do something. Because I like torturing him. CB Radio, Saturday nights, midnight-ish. Weird, wacky, unusual, at CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and the website, CBRadioLive.com, hashtag Blame Rob.
There you go. Yeah, and of course, next Sunday night, return to our regular time of 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain, another edition of WTR Sunday Night. We'll go over the fallout and see what happens this upcoming week and, you know, talk about it and stuff like that. Those of you who have tuned in for the first time tonight, and I know there's more than a couple of you because of all the different chat sites that I was in and spamming the link for the website. Thank you very much for tuning in and sticking with us. Come back regularly. We'd love to have you here. And of course, you could enter to win something every time we do pick 'em, like, you know, everybody else does. Have yourself a great week, everybody. Good night.
No,
I'm kidding.
No. You can follow,
Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio. Follow me on Twitter, at Flames Forums, or at Man Kitchen TV. You can do that.
You can do that.
Also, check me out on Facebook, at facebook.com/menchefs.
Yeah, give us some tune in, Stitcher and iTunes, search Wild Talk Radio Network, and now Mace will tell you where you can find his stuff.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at the Mace Sing. You can also find my gaming bits and pieces over at theouterhaven.net and youtube.com/WTRGamesGarage.
And now the man who is doing 1,274 videos this month, the Omega.
God, it feels like it sometimes. All right. For those who want to follow on Facebook, it is TJ Reviews. And if you want to follow over on Twitter, it is TJ Omega. TJ Omega is also the YouTube channel, and TJOmega.org, where all the exclusive videos are. And yes, the YouTube channel normally has new content every single weekday, but for the month of December, there's like 50-plus videos in the works, or some posted, some still driving me insane.
How do you get through all this, Omega?
You remember the clone vats I mentioned before?
Yeah.
They got that tech from somewhere. That's all I can say.
Gotcha, gotcha. So Omega's going to be busy with video production for the next few weeks. So check him out, TJ Omega, all over the internets, because he does a lot of things.
He runs half the internet, you know that, right?
Yes. Thanks, PWMania.com, as always. And Tim, say goodnight.
Before I say goodnight, what is actually going on with the Rack on Thursday nights coming up soon?
I mentioned we're on Gerwick.net. We'll talk about it Thursday.
Yeah, you'll talk about it Thursday? Cool.
Thursday.
I just didn't know that you were going to talk about what when?
Thursday.
Oh, my goodness.
I know, right?
Yeah, I know, right?
It's amazing.
Enough. I want to go to bed. Everybody, have yourselves a great week. We'll catch you next Sunday night.
Thursday.
Sunday.
Thursday.
Thursday.
Sunday.
Thursday.
Sunday.
Thursday.
Sunday.